I'm still Alex Hirsch.
I'm Jeff Rowe.
I'm Shion Takeuchi.
I'm newly Rob Ronzetti.
And this is Weirdmageddon Part 2, Mableland. We had to change the title at the last minute because...
Yes, spoiler.
We were really worried that the title would get out and people would know what was going to be in Mabel's bubble. And once they knew, they could kind of start to predict the episode. So we, at the last second, changed it to Escape from Reality or something like that.
Yeah.
I still don't remember like what our late title is. This is, I think, our first reveal of the Throne of Humans.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a nightmare for our artists to design. So Weird 2. Let's sort of talk a little bit about the broad concept. So the idea was that, Stan and Ford were these two siblings who were really close, and then life came between them, broke their relationship, and they spent these isolated lives growing further and further apart. And that Dipper and Mabel are these, close friends who have been getting closer over the course of the summer, but then a rift has come between them, and sort of the job of Weirdmageddon. Every weird thing in the show exists to do something to our characters. And for us, the job of Weirdmageddon is to have Dipper and Mabel get over their differences, and that's the catalyst that causes Stan and Ford to get over their differences. So from a macro point of view, when we started planning this three-part conclusion to the series, we knew that would be our sort of second act. I sort of came to the writers and was just like, all right, I think we're going to do an episode that takes place in Mabel's mind. We had the idea of doing that in Weird Dreamscapers.
Yeah.
There was this idea of being in Mabel's dream and seeing her dream boys, and it seemed like a really fun location. So it was like, Dipper and Mabel are going to get over their issues, and they're going to go to Mabel's head and figure it out. And Jeff, can you sort of talk about sort of the brainstorming and the original concepts here?
I think I remember it was like, you're living inside like a Lisa Frank thing. It's just like whatever the most Mabel stuff is that you can do. Just go nuts on it.
She's accumulated so much. She's such like a creative character. She's accumulated so many just sort of visual symbols for her own creativity over the course of the series.
Well, Mabel was always my favorite character to write for. And when we would like table read the scripts, I always like insisted on doing the Mabel voice. I'm like, I want to read Mabel.
Rob always insisted on being Ford.
Yeah.
Yes. Or Stan.
Or Stan. I was usually one of the brothers.
Always did a great job too. But yeah, so it's
and
like,
so you were stoked to just like get Mabel-y.
Yeah. And there's some actual like emotional sauce there to like dig into and I don't know.
And remind me if I'm remembering incorrectly, because it's sort of a blur. Everyone works on everything. But I remember sort of coming to the team with this broad idea of they're going to be in Mabel's bubble, and there's going to be some kind of arc that happens over the course of this episode. But the whole idea of the third act of the trial, did that come from Josh, or was that you and Josh together?
I think the trial was my idea. I apologize if I'm wrong, Josh, because it's like sometimes it's like we try to come up with a third act set piece, and it's like, well, it's a chase or a fight.
Right.
Yeah. So what's a different kind of thing you can do? Well, we've never done like a courtroom drama, and there was something funny and appealing about the idea of like putting reality on trial, or like making Dipper and Mabel duke it out in this specific
in
way.
In court. Well, something as serious as court in a place as silly as Mabel's brain.
Yeah, it just kind of clicked in and made sense.
I thought that was a cool idea. I had a really sort of different way I was imagining this episode before that idea. There was a version of it that I had in my head that involved like Act 1 took place in Mableland, but basically the second two-thirds of the episode took place inside a scrapbook. Do you remember that stuff?
Oh,
vaguely. I remember that.
I had that, like, Mabel starts to really quickly figure out that this is all a lie and wants out, and Bill can see that the plan is falling apart, and he needs to get Dipper and Mabel to hate each other more. So he sends Dipper and Mabel into a cursed scrapbook, which has photos of their entire lives, with the idea that they would relive every fight they had ever lived, and that this would result in them hating each other. And there was a thought that like maybe they'd team up with their younger selves.
Yeah. Hey, that sounds great.
let's
go back and do that.
Remember we had talked about that like as like a broad idea, but I think. I remember coming to the writer's room and there was a group pitch, and so maybe that's why I was misattributing it to Josh.
Yeah.
Remember there was a group pitch about the idea that like it was we weren't making the most of the Mableland location,
right,
and that like you could do this crazy courtroom scene and it would like be really fun and really active.
And the scrapbook like, ended up being a part of that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember trying to pull some of it back to some of that idea.
Yeah.
Well, that was like a final hour, like Alex Hirsch save. Like I think we're having a tough time with the exact resolution of this, and then like Alex came in like a champion at the last minute and like wrote all that like really touching like memories of them as children, like the scrapbook stuff.
Right.
And it was just like some of the sweetest stuff on the show.
Well, I wanted to get a little bit of that scrapbook heat just because like there's this idea that one could selectively, I feel like you could do this with your relationship with almost anybody, is you could selectively edit a bunch of memories together to make it seem like it was an awful time.
Yeah.
And then you could selectively edit a bunch of memories together, like, all right. The highlights!
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think everybody does that with their life. They selectively remember what they want to remember or not, or the bad things they want to remember, or focus on the bad and forget the good.
Right. And sort of, this episode is about Mabel being essentially in denial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Mabel wants summer to last forever. She kind of lives in her own head, and Bill has basically given her what she asked for, and kind of like in my mind, and I think one thing that's sometimes misinterpreted about this episode is that, you know, oh well, Mabel doesn't seem to understand the apocalypse and she's indifferent to it. And in my mind, Mabel has been a little not fully hypnotized, but kind of tricked by this world. She's kind of in a dream, essentially.
Yeah.
Like the way the rules work in my mind is that, you know, Bill or Blendon basically, you know, said, you want more summer, right?
Oh, I gotta stop you right there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dippy Fresh.
Wiggity wiggity, what's up, dude bros?
Yeah, maybe one of the finest moments.
Really is kind of Jeff distilled onto screen.
Yeah,
what Jeff thinks of as the best parts of Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is
one
I
of our nicknames
wish,
for Jeff is Jeffy Fresh.
Yeah,
no, actually, is that for Jeffrey Thompson?
No.
We have multiple Jeffs on the show.
Yeah. And that was the two Jeffs.
What was the origin of Dippy Fresh?
I think you said something, Alex, like, Mabel even has like a better brother, like a better version of Dipper. And then we just riffed on what that was. And it's like Burger King Kids Club.
Kid Vid from Burger King Kids Club.
Yeah, yeah. And just like, you know, his name is Dippy Fresh and he talks like I do or something.
He's aggressively supportive.
Yeah.
Nice.
Actually, Mabel, I'm with Dipper on this. Gravity Falls is in trouble, and I really think...
Wendy!
What? Guys? You're safe.
We've got a monster truck full of fireworks, fake IDs, and pranking supplies.
Want to drive this truck through the high school and glue this plunger to the principal's head?
Well, I mean, again, the way we sort of pitched it was, this is all kind of a dream. Like, none of this is really real. Like, the only thing that's real are these characters, and, like... everything else is made out of just sort of imagination sauce.
Right.
So like Dippy Fresh, you know, you could break his neck. You're not killing anyone real.
Yeah. Just returns to the imagination dust from whence he came. Whence? Is that a word?
Yeah. Whence is.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
word,
totally
yeah.
legit. Whence. Well
whence
done.
Is, whence is a real word. Yeah. I'm trying to remember sort of other than that, like sort of there was that original mission. We want to see kind of the growth of, we want to resolve Dipper and Mabel. We want to be inside Mabel's mind. And I think that this was, because this was an episode sort of about a denial,
right.
It was like every character's offered an easier out.
Yep.
Like Wendy is like offered like just like teen rebellion. Seuss is offered to just sort of go into like this thing that he still secretly harbors. Like they're all kind of given something that they are starting to grow out of or are on the precipice of leaving. The sort of cynical hope being by Bill that they'll just slide back once tempted.
Yep.
And here's, we don't get to see what Dipper's supposed to be tempted by.
Yeah.
Jeff, do you remember, I remember writing out a scene, but I'm not sure if I showed it to anybody, where I was trying to come up with an alt that involved a scene with Ford for Dipper's, what Dipper imagined.
Oh, I don't.
Did I ever show
that
to the team?
Maybe not.
I wasn't able to crack it. I had this feeling with the Wendy stuff where I was like, we've gone to the Wendy well a lot. Is that a little bit too much Wendy? At this moment, maybe Dipper's greatest wish is his whole apprenticeship thing. And I tried to write out a scene where, like, Dipper's like, okay, I need to figure out a way to get Mabel out of here. And then, like, Ford just skyrockets in. And he's just like, Dipper, I've defeated Weirdmageddon, and Bill is dead, and we need to go and hunt mummies. And Dipper's like, well, really? And then it's just like hard cuts to them like having finished hunting a bunch of mummies. Like, whoa, that was a long day of mummy hunting. And Dipper's like got a cool scar and like it's like we're in another television show at this point, yeah, and Dipper's like kind of into like their next adventure, like, let's get our crossbows, like, there's a bunch of ghosts, and then like something happens where like they go by a school. It's like we've jumped into the future and Mabel is now in high school or something, and Dipper's like watching her through the fence having fun with friends, and he's like kind of covered in like mummy hunting crap, and like everybody's like, oh, isn't that your brother, the creepy guy who just like hangs out with an old man
and hunts mummies
and just like collects animal parts in like a basement, and Dipper has this like realization like, oh, maybe I don't want to do this apprenticeship. But like I remember like I tried to write this out and it was one, way too long. Two, kind of crazy how much it broke the believability of the episode. And three, it also didn't make sense that Bill would allow a world to show the negative side of what Dipper wanted. That was the thing. I was like, Dipper has to see the negative side of this.
Right.
But like the Mabeland would never let Dipper see the negative consequence. So like that was such a mind screw that I couldn't get it together.
Well, I think this is more successful. This shows that he has gotten past it, because he's basically just like, hey, you can be with the girl you want, and he, you know, he's wise enough to.
Well, no, like ultimately, like I don't think I even showed anybody that scene because like I tried it and it didn't work. You know what I mean? Like
I remember this. Millipedes are just the creepiest thing in the world to me. So
horrifying.
I was like, oh, how do you make it horrifying? Oh, she turns into millipedes. Just everything turns into millipedes.
What is with those animals hanging from the tree?
They're creepy. We told the artists, make them terrifying, and they did.
Yeah. Shion, do you have any memories of this episode, of the creation of the...
I have, like, vague flashes of, like, different versions where Wendy was, like, writing beat poetry or something.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, we were trying to come up with, like, different Wendy wants, and then another, like, a classroom flashback for Dipper and Mabel, and like something about being siblings and being in a classroom. I'm sorry, I'm not illuminating any.
That Wendy thing, I remember that. We spent some time trying to figure out something. We didn't want to be some guy. We'd done that. We explored
that. What does Wendy want?
Some cool guy. And we're
it
like,
felt
she
reductive
wanna,
to her character.
Yeah, just having a boyfriend. That's
we did
not,
hope
that's
to
not
find
right for her.
I mean, we did hope to. Wendy was always such a tough character because she's pretty self-actualized and she doesn't exhibit a lot of like destructive character flaws that she really needs to get over.
I think just having her friend group back was perfect.
She just loves that aimless teen rebellion, man. It would be really hard for her if given the choice to turn down just like a bunch of chaos.
Hey, I didn't think the world's in Mabeland.
I remember I was super like stoked when I saw all the stuff that you guys had written for this courtroom scene, because it's just so funny and great.
Yep.
So here's John Stewart. What was that like, Alex?
That it was very surreal. So like I was a huge fan of the classic Daily Show with John Stewart when I was in CalArts. Like I would as soon as class was out, I would like run as fast as I could to get to a television. I didn't miss a single episode. And John Stewart was always my dream guest. And we had gotten to the point where his kids loved Gravity Falls. Kristen Schaal was a correspondent, and she got me on the show backstage to meet Jon Stewart. And he was like, yeah, my kids love the show. I do a grunkle voice around the house. And I was like, I need you to do an episode one day. And I was always waiting for a chance that he would be available. And we finally heard that he was. And so he seemed like he'd be perfect for Judge Kitty Kitty Meow Meow Face - Schwartzstein. It was really surreal bringing him on, and a little terrifying because, like, he was in the middle of recording. He was writing an episode with his writers, and then he had to duck out of the writer's room into a little closet with a mic to record from New York to send us the thing to then go out to then do the show that night. Like,
wow.
It was, we were just a tiny break in his day, and I felt like I'm so unqualified to be telling him, like, yeah, but say meowver ruled. It's not meowver ruled, it's meowver ruled. Can you give me another one?
I love the ripped off sleeve.
Yeah. I love the idea that Kraz and Zeiler actually have legal knowledge. Like, they're actually pretty good lawyers.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Kraz and Zeiler as the lawyers is my favorite part of the scene.
Kraz and Zeiler was another one of those characters where it's just like, it's a throwaway joke, and then they became like so much bigger than we ever imagined they would be. Even though they only have a few appearances throughout the series, they always make such a strong impression.
Well, I think in like season two, there was this like, use every part of the buffalo. Like, we had enough breadth in the world that we could just draw on things and deepen it. Like, just really give a lot of kind of things characters and roles. And
this is literally my elementary school.
Egbert? Was it called Egbert?
It was called Egbert W. Beach Elementary.
Wow.
And I just gave photos of this school to Ian, our art director, and I was like, just put Beach School in the show, because like it's at this point, if we're gonna get a brief kind of taste of different Mabel as kids, I want it to be as close to my memories as possible.
I love Mabel with the pigtails too. She's super cute.
And when we also never get to see seasons in this show, so often when we have a flashback, we'll try to take an opportunity. It doesn't make any logical sense they'd be doing school photos in the fall necessarily, but I was like, we're trapped in summer all the time, so let's get another taste of, you know, what these places look like. These outfits are kind of weird because they seem almost decade specific. Like that shirt actually looks older than a giant sweater for Mabel. It was very hard figuring out like what do young Dipper and Mabel look like.
I like that slight fear shirt.
Yeah.
I can't believe that kid's your brother.
Hey, what's the point of all this? That was in the past.
Is your life any better now, bro? Heartbreak, disaster, broken promises. That's reality for you.
Out there, it's nothing but heartbreak. But in here, who wants Pug Sundays? Hand me a microphone, Zyler.
Yeah, this stuff is that it's sometimes when you sit down to write an episode, you've just got a couple like comedic areas locked and loaded that you can sink your teeth into, and it's like those are the moments from which the rest of the episode is born. Yeah. And I remember them as lawyers was a pretty early thing, and it was like that's easy and fun to write, and then you got to fill out the other stuff to get there.
Yeah, it seemed like everyone was having like a lot of fun with this story just because there's just so much ridiculousness and chaos in Mabel's mind. And the art team did a great job of, you know, there's so many references. There's Shimmery Twinkle Heart. We see Ducktective in there. That waffle with the buff arms is from a drawing she did in Headhunters. Like many of these things. That horse with the little legs is a sticker from Mabel's Guide to Stickers.
Wow.
There's Sir Syrup in the background from Gobblewonker, and to the right of him was the basketball-playing dog from Irrational Treasure. Like, a lot of this stuff is just, from Mabel's brain.
I mean,
brain.
We had to populate this world, and we really just dug back into everything.
Oh, and this Mabel's is the only other done. Episode other than the pilot where Mabel wears her classic pink with the shooting star sweater. Because we just thought, oh, this is the Mabel-iest episode. We need the Mabel-iest outfit. So this is definitely not based on anything real. There's no way I would have destroyed my own photo for Ariel.
You are a much worse brother than Dipper is.
Fact. But I could kind of buy that there was a time where Dipper wasn't as anxious. Like, when you're super young, like, sometimes it takes kids a minute to, like, notice all the social pressure. Like, I think at this point it's starting to hit him.
Yes.
But, like, you know, maybe second or third grade, like, he was still kind of in that sweet childhood place. Yeah, and it was nice getting to reference, like, this fact that, like, they've had a lot of really great moments, and, like, they're a great team, and this plan that Dipper had of going off to be this apprentice, like, it sounds great on paper, but in reality, like, it would just be a lot of hanging out in a basement.
Well, it's not time for that. It's time for him to be a kid. It's time for him to be a teenager. It's time for him to enjoy growing up and not be grown up yet. He'll get to all that. He'll get to better stuff than that.
I also got to give a shout out to Matt Brawley, who is the director of this episode. Mm-hmm. So many of the visual flourishes, the ideas of what the settings would look like, how everything would fit together, and a lot of the gags, and just the general spirit of this episode. I think, Matt is like a really, really sweet guy. And he, I think, can relate to a lot of Mabel and really put a lot of that in the episode.
Yeah. Matt and Alonzo were like these twin quasars of heart that just like, always injected so much warmth and love into every board sequence that they did, the character designs. Like, I remember during the season 2 brainstorm, Alonzo just boarded a bunch of ideas, just like random things.
Yeah, so good.
And they were all
we ended up using a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those guys are amazing.
I got to give credit to Ali Dinesh, one of our artists. He did, I think, this design and a lot of other great designs in this episode. Oh, yeah, there's Aoshima.
Yeah.
I love that character. Wendy,
paradise is canceled. I think... yeah, okay, and this whole section was storyboarded by Emmy, and she did an amazing job as well. It was nice seeing this happy world turn dark, because it's grating to experience that much Mableness for that long.
Waddle seems to be this being that exists in whatever reality he wants to. Because here he is. This is actual Waddle somehow, giant.
Uh-oh. You got a good point there, Rob. Cancel the episode. Let's redo it. Uh-oh.
No, I'm saying Waddles is... He's the most powerful character in our canon.
There was always... Alex, didn't you always want to have an episode where Waddles talked and had, like, John Hamm's voice and was just like a mature adult?
We had that, but Halloween episode.
There was a concept for an episode in season one that Mabel would become protection crazy about. She's got a baby, Waddles, and now she wants to protect it, and she's constantly scared about it getting hurt, and she, like, covers Waddles in a ball of bubble tape, and she's trying to keep him safe.
Oh, that's right.
And she ends
that.
Up getting knocked out and has this fantasy sequence where Waddles speaks with John Hamm's voice and is like, if you love something, you have to let it live its own life or something like that.
Yeah,
ended up not becoming an episode, but that we took that piece and we put it in... Baconings, with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, was there some kind of thing with Waddles getting sick and, like, Gideon being in prison? Do you guys remember that episode?
Yeah, that was a Gideon episode. We never were able to fully crack it. But there was an idea that Waddles was sick and Mabel had to get an antidote, and she had to go into prison, and she had to, like, infiltrate it to get
Gideon's help.
Yeah, I mean, for every episode you see, it's standing on the mountain of the corpses of 100 other episodes that we wrote and we started.
Very dark,
we sort of played with ideas that we never quite resolved.
I think you actually wrote this ending, Shion, because this was the beginning of next episode was yours.
And it was just great to get all of these obscure characters back together in one place.
Yeah.
Well, this
and
ending.
There they are. There they are.
Whoa.
I wish we could have found a way for them to stay, you know, in our world at the end of Weird 3, but they had to go back.
Oh, yeah, them questioning reality.
This was a very late addition I made to the animatic. We were very tired, guys.
Yeah. And that's why you got
You
want to
create your own
like
Weird
this.
Mageddon? Stay up for days on end. See what your brain makes.